Okay, we ready? Here we go. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. John 4 verse 23. Let's do it again. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. John 4, verse 23.
I've shared with you before that I have, when I have dreams, if I remember them for more than 5 minutes after I've woken up, I write them down. Because when I remember them, that's got to be the Lord. It's got to be the Lord that has to do with it. Well, this particular dream I wrote down in July of 2013. So all of this that's on this page is from 2013. So I really had asked the Lord, was I supposed to share it with you? And I believe that he wants me to do that. So in the dream, I was in New York City, which is not my favorite place to be to begin with. But I was with Bethany and Andrea Langham. I don't know how many of you know Andrea, but Bethany and her are really good friends. I'd gotten separated from them and ended up in some place that was kind of like a driver's license place, lots of chairs and a big desk up in front there. And I left my purse sitting on a chair as I went up to the big desk to ask a question. And when I came back, my next to my purse was an empty wallet. And then I noticed that my purse was also empty. And everything that I had brought in there was gone. And it was a big red purse. So there it was sitting there. And I met up with Bethany and Andrea. They were walking through a lot of people in a big, and I was walking with my big, empty red purse. My big, empty red purse that had everything in it that was important to me. I had that big thing that drew attention to itself, that had everything that was important to me, was now gone. And so I'm carrying that through there, and we were on a road. We were all three of us were on one bicycle. That was a fun picture. And so I'm trying to put together, we stuck together. It was the Trinity right there on one bicycle. Good way to explain three in one, huh? And we noticed that the road had ended and the pavement had ended and the people in front of us were tearing up the road. So it gave us it gave me the indication that there's some trouble up ahead. There's some rough times up ahead. It's not going to be smooth sailing as we go along through it. And so I began to realize that now I have to, I thought about who I should call. You know, I have to call the credit companies. I have to do my driver's license and all that sort of thing. There were gift cards in there, and I was so disappointed that I'd lost those, and all kinds of things. But now I've realized that also my phone is gone. And so I'd gone back into the room that I was first in with all the people and went up to the person at the big desk, a woman, and told her the situation, and she just smiled. Like I wasn't saying anything at all. And that's the way that the world responds. Everything everywhere is fine. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. Okay. But so I went back, going back to the phone, I realized that I had lost connection with others without my phone. And I knew no one's number to contact them. I'd lost everything that was important to me. And now I had realized that I had lost communication. And I woke up right after that, and I said to myself, oh, thank God that that was just a dream. And, oh, Lord, if only, and then I said out loud, oh, Lord, if only what we read in the news last night, now, keep in mind, this was 2013, about our children being forced into being in bathrooms with whatever gender from the age of kindergarten, any child could go into either locker room or showers, depending on what gender they felt they were at that time. And I said aloud, "Oh Lord, if only this were a dream. As of this time, we have lost everything that we have held dear to ourselves. The attack is on our children and on our grandchildren. Have we lost communication with the most important person in our lives, Jesus? Have we suddenly realized, like I did in my dream when the phone was gone, that I've lost communication and I don't know the right numbers? I don't know who to call or who to write to. God, help us to keep our eyes on you and trust in you and do whatever you tell us to do, to contact whoever you tell us to contact, to speak to whoever you tell us to speak to wake up all you dreamers, stand up all believers, take up your cross, carry our cross, regain communication with the living God. Have we entered with no turning back the book of Judges? Are all of us doing what is right in our own eyes? I'm afraid so, and now the consequences of living that way has come. The time has come to pay the price for living that way. The time that we're living in right now, in our country, do not take it lightly. Pay attention to what's going on all around our country, all around our world. Pay attention to what's happening. You say, oh, I don't want to vote because of this or that or the other thing. Well, what if this happens and what if that happens? You do what God tells you to do, but you stand for God. You stand for what's right. You stand for what God has told you to stand for. You talk when he tells you to talk. You keep quiet when he tells you to keep quiet. But be a part of what's going on. All of us need to be praying for what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the world today. The things that are going on in Israel, the things that are going on in the other countries. We now no longer can we say, I want to be neutral and call ourselves Sweden because Sweden has now joined NATO. So everything is changing, and it's changing very, very fast. And in the Word of God, it tells us that as the time approaches, things are going to be happening faster and faster and faster. And there are some things down the pike, down the road for us that are going to be rough, just like in that dream, where people are tearing up the road ahead of us. And it's just keep your eyes on the Lord. Is all I wasn't sure about sharing that dream, but apparently I was supposed to. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us, that you have prepared this study according to what you want us to hear, Lord. And that I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing by your hand. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would just speak through me. And use me as much as you possibly can, Lord. Anything of myself, please, Lord, let it just fall off and just not even be noticed. I thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us. And help us to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We always want to start out that way and always remember that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice no matter what my situation. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Last week, as we talk about Nicodemus, I realized Nicodemus was a man who searched for God with all of his heart. He wasn't content to know some of the truth. He wanted the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He wanted to be in the center of all of that. He asked questions. I can just picture him looking at Jesus' face, looking at Jesus in the eyes, and seeing what his facial, what kind of a expression is he saying, is he using as he speaks to me, and just really studying Jesus and finding out what Jesus has to say to him at that particular time. The Word of God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Nicodemus searched for God with all of his heart. And today in the study that we have on this woman at the well, we will meet two other people again in this portion of our text, the woman at the well was a person who was not willing to go with the flow. The Samaritan woman didn't back down and asked Jesus all the right questions. And as we get into it, the questions that she asked, she wanted to know, where do I worship? She was a woman of faith. Even her situation, she was still a woman of faith. Where do I go to worship? I want to know, where do I go to worship God? And so as we move on in this, we look again at John 3:16, which I fear I didn't really give enough time to and enough energy to when we were talking about it last week. In John 3:16, we brought up those three points about it. And number one being the initiative in all salvation lies with God. God is the one who woos us. God is the one who calls us. His word says that the Holy Spirit draws us into his presence. He's the one who initiates all salvation. All salvation, the initiative in all salvation lies with God. God initiated the work of being a sacrifice for my sins and for your sins. We talked about the mainspring of God's being is love. Everything about God is love. God himself is love. He is love. Everything about him is love. It is who he is. God is love. And he loved the whole world. Every single person in this world who has ever been born or ever will be born, God loves them. He died for each one of them. All they have to do is receive him. All they have to do is go after him. There's not a person in this that's alive that God hasn't fully and completely loved. Just ask the Samaritan woman and the nobleman and his son and his household in our study today. God loved the world so much that he gave. He gave, he gave, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him, would trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to, would not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't come into this world to judge us. He came, that will come later. But he did come into this world to be a sacrifice for our sins. And we need to remember that. We need to be aware of that. We need to love him for who he is. This world's not my home, thank God. Thank God I'm just passing through. And there are some days I'd like to pass through a whole lot faster than I am right now. But so as we move into our text in verses 1 through 30, and when I was typing this up, when I was just studying on this and all of the stuff that was in my mind, I'm going to be jumping all over in the verses in our text. I just want you to know that ahead of time. Why is she going over there? The beginning of it starts over here, but that's just the way that it is. And that's me. So this verses 1 through 30 tells us the story of an unnamed, anonymous, broken woman who was an outcast, who was just trying to make it through life. Have you ever been that woman? Have you ever been that woman? You're just trying to make it through life. I just got to make it through today. Have you ever said to yourself, I just got to make it through today? I've said that. I just got to get through today. No matter what's going on, I just got to get through it today. I'm a broken woman, just like this woman. I'm a broken woman. I have areas in my life that God is still working on and will continue to work on. We know about the Samaritan woman that she was a woman of faith, which I already mentioned. She wanted to know, where do I go to worship? Do I go to Mount Gerizim to worship, or do I go someplace else to worship? Now, I don't know how much you know about the Samaritans, but when the Samaritans, there were no Samaritans until, I believe the date was 724, if I'm correct in that. I think it was in the 700s. But when Assyria took over that area that Samaria is, whose name I can't remember what it was before, but they took it over, and when they took it over, they came in and intermarried with the Jewish people there. And so when the Assyrians and the Jewish people came together, their offspring were the Samaritans. That was the beginning of the Samaritans. They would be known as Samaritans at that point. Because they were a mixed breed, they were also a mixed religion. They spoke Arabic on a normal basis unless they were in synagogue, and then they spoke in Hebrew when they were in the synagogue. So they had this confusion going on in trying to mix both of these things. And the Samaritan woman wants to know, what is the truth? You see, she's a seeker of truth as well. She was a woman of faith. No matter what was going on in her life, she was a woman of faith. Her story is only recorded in John. She was alone at the well, drawing water in the heat of the day because she was an outcast. You all know the story of this woman at the well. You've studied it. You've heard it. People talk about it. You've read it. You've formed your own opinion about who this woman was. I'm hoping that we can get some clarification on her tonight. She was that outcast that was there in the heat of the day. She'd been married 5 times, and the number 6 that she's with is not even her husband. It's probably someone else's husband. But she's about to meet number 7. Number 7 is going to be the one that completes her. Number 7 stands for completeness. It's the number of completeness, of perfection. Today, she has an appointment with Jesus, PhD. Pure, holy, divine. This Jesus that she would meet. And that's why Jesus needed to go to Samaria, because there was an appointment there. He needs to go later to Cana for the nobleman. He needed to go. God never goes anywhere without purpose. There is nothing that happens in our lives without purpose. Everything that goes on in our lives has purpose. How are we going to use what God has given us on this day? The woman found, like us, that there was a hole in her heart that only Jesus could fill. Only God can make the deepest need of the human heart. Only God can meet the deepest need of the human heart through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Only he can do that. Only he can do that. My mom was married 6 times before she died at the age of 36. And I never really understood until I came to Jesus. Why would you be married 6 times? Why go through that 6 times? But you know, why I'm asking, even as I'm studying this, what caused these men to leave the Samaritan woman? Did she walk away? There's a person that I know that would always leave someone before they had a chance to leave her. And I don't know, was that the Samaritan woman? Did she leave before they had a chance to leave her? Like the rest of us, she was looking for love. My mom was just looking for somebody to love her. She was just looking for someone to love her unconditionally. 6 times she tried. She was moving on into her 7th before she died. But like the Samaritan woman, my mom had a deep longing of her heart to be loved and loved unconditionally. And they found, the Samaritan woman and my mom and probably you have found, that no husband makes you complete. The words these days are, he made me complete. No, he did not. He made me complete until he made me mad. You know, and then we were broken. I'm just saying. Only Jesus can do that. Single people are complete in Jesus. married people are complete in Jesus. We will stand before the throne of God individually, all by ourselves. We will have no one to blame for what we did or didn't do. We will stand alone, and God himself will make a judgment on us. Just me. Just me. I won't be able to blame my husband for if only he had or if only he hadn't. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what did I do with Jesus? And that's where the judgment will come, all on its own. We are complete in Jesus. In verse 26, see, I told you I was jumping around. Jesus tells the woman, I who speak to you am he. So let's just imagine for a moment. What do you think he looked like when he was telling her this? Do you think that the look on his face was, do you think he was smiling? Do you think he was serious? Do you think he was confronting? Do you think he was like, just wanted to mention this? No, he wasn't that way. And what about her? Were her eyes wide with amazement? Do you think she stuttered out, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. You're the Messiah. The excitement that she felt at that moment. I got chills myself at that very thought. He's the Messiah. He's standing there and he's talking to me. I'm a broken outcast, unnamed, anonymous woman that's looking for love, and he's talking to me. Right away, the insignificance of her life was swallowed by the significance of the moment. God is here. God has come, and God cares for me, and God cares for you. That's why she talked to the first person that she came to. She ran and she announced, I just met a man who told me everything about me, and he loves me still. He's the Messiah. Her excitement in sharing with others. You know, when we come to Jesus, we have that excitement. Because I want you to have what I have. It's so wonderful. I want you to have Jesus. I want you to experience that full life in Jesus, to experience laying down your life for him. Jesus had taken a life that was drifting and gave it direction. Pastor Jeff talked on Sunday about him being our anchor and to pay attention unless lest we drift, how easily we drift away. And Pastor Jeff used all of the illustrations and that they're all so good at. If I get into illustrations, I will never get back to the Word of God. I'll probably forget the whole illustration anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So moving on into, not moving on, but moving back to verse 11, she tells Jesus that the well is very deep, but it was much deeper than she knew. Think for a moment of the depths of human nature and the depths of human life. Think of the depth of the wells in you. And me. Do we limit the work of God in our lives because we think that the well is too deep? Do we have a deep well of hurt? Do we have a deep well of trouble in our hearts? Jesus says to you in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Isn't that the place where he says, I've gone to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. I was telling him that this morning. I just want to be with you, Lord. Wherever that is, I just want to be with you. would you answer, but Lord, the well is too deep, and even you can't draw up peace and comfort out of it. You'd be right if you said that. Even he can't draw up peace and comfort out of it, because he brings things down, not brings them up from human nature. He pours it down upon us. We forget that he is almighty. We're the ones who are poor, not him. So many times we struggle to reach the bottom of our own well, trying to get water for ourselves. But this well of incompleteness is deep. But remember, you are complete in Jesus. He completes you. In verse 7, moving back to verse 7, Jesus asks for a drink. Looks like I just went backwards all the way. Jesus asks for a drink. So many times we're looking for Jesus to quench our thirst. And yet here we have him asking for a drink from this woman. Why? We so often get so busy doing things for God. Why? Because it's easier to do things for him than it is for us to sit at his feet. We need to invest that time at his feet. In quietness and confidence is our strength. I just heard something just recently that we are witnessing the last generation that can be still. That the next generation will have no idea what it is to sit in stillness. When we were younger, I say we, and you guys are all younger than me, but all of us, I would say in this room, when we were younger, we expended all of this energy being, when we were bored, we expended all this energy to entertain ourselves. We came up with imaginary things. We came up with all kinds of inventions. We came up with all kinds of things going on. But today, the kids have to expend all of their energy just to be still and to be set aside the distractions. Phones and computers, internet, all these things have so consumed us, and they've done exactly what they were designed to do. They're doing exactly what they were designed to do. I was talking to somebody today, and we were talking about how people's cards get, somebody steals your account, your card number, and orders stuff on your card. And she said, I told my husband, do not say our credit card number out loud because we have one of those things in our house. And we are giving all the information out by what we say. It's listening all the time, but you know what? We're so concerned about that listening, and we're not concerned about God's listening. God's listening to us all the time. All the time. He's paying attention to everything, and that's a whole nother rabbit trail there. The goal of the call of God is his satisfaction, not simply that we should do something for him. We're not sent to do battle for God, but to be used by God for his battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. We are in this battle together. We have to do our part. We need to pray. We need to invest time at the feet of Jesus. We need to be there and find out what he has to say in his word to us. We invest that time with him. And so we do battle with him. Do we have doubts that God's able if only we will give it all to him? Let's commit our doubts to the Lord and ask for faith to live for Christ. Have confidence in Jesus, in the living word. He will refresh your faith. But I wanted to just bring out on this particular, in verse 15, notice that it says, I don't want to have to come back here. I don't want to have to come back to this well, nor come here to draw. I don't want to have to come back here. If I come to you, do I have to come back here? Because she was only thinking about physical. And Jesus is speaking to her of the spiritual. Another thing I want you to notice is in verse 28, it says that she left her water pot. She left her water pot. Two things with that. One, she left her old life behind. And two, she has now become the vessel for living water. So she leaves it behind. And then Jesus goes on and he's talking to his disciples. And did you notice that he sent all of the disciples to the grocery store? All of them. All of you guys. It's going to take all of you guys to get everything that we need. It's going to take all of you guys to remember what it is that we were supposed to get. Have you ever had your husband shop for you? Yes. Bill does a great job. Most of the time. Except when he's alone or with someone. No, these are the jokes. I needed a laugh right there, so I, at his expense, I'm sorry. Anyway. So the disciples are talking. Jesus tells them, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Verse 38. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. We are all in this together. God deals with us as individuals, and yet we're all in this together. And many of the Samaritans believed there in the city as they went out and they talked to Jesus, and many more believed because of his own words. And I love that they tell her, they say, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you told us. I just want you to know we heard him. And when we heard him, then we believed. We didn't really believe when you told us, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She was just the news bearer. And they heard, the point is, they heard the word that God was saying. That's the point. And they listened, and because they heard, they believed. They learned to trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to. And so we move on to verse 43 through 54. And again, we see Jesus responding to the faith of one man. This was a noble man. He was important, very different from the Samaritan woman. But did you notice his name's not mentioned either? Because God deals with all of us in the same way. It doesn't have anything to do with his name. But he was a noble man. He was an important man who had heard knew something about what Jesus could do. And apparently he trusted Jesus completely. I want you to pay attention to the fact that he was not coming as a worshiper. He was coming because he needed a miracle. Not coming as a worshiper, he needed a miracle. Note that he was coming from the area that was known for its unbelief. Jesus is going back to Canaan. This is where the nobleman is from. And there is, that's where Jesus said that no one, what's the verse I'm looking for? That the area, sorry. You can be a witness in your own homeland. You're not recognized in your own hometown. Have you noticed in your own families that it's harder to share Christ with your whole family? Because they know you and they think they know more about you than they really know. And so there's that scripture in there on Matthew about if these kind of miracles had been done in this place. And it was just an empty place that God was not glorified. So he was coming as a broken man. He's just a broken man. His son is sick and near to dying. So he's a broken man who's come to Jesus. No different from the Samaritan woman, who was a broken woman. Because some need to be broken before they will follow Jesus. This was a rich man who has been turned to a beggar because of his situation. Jesus, please. I know if you're there that my son will be healed. I know if you're there, my son will be healed. Mary and Martha said, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus recognized his faith and accepted his faith. And he said to him, Jesus saw beyond the tears and the words of this man and looked directly at his heart, a heart that was filled with a quiet knowing that Jesus would heal his son. He knew that Jesus would heal his son. You will heal my son. I know you can. I know you can. I know you will. And then it goes on, we talk about that in verse 49, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. In verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So what did the man do? So the man believed the word of God. Do we believe the word of God? The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he walked in obedience. He went on his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, your son lives. And then he asks them, what time did this happen? When was this going on? What time did this happen? Have you ever had anybody that you've been praying for? All of a sudden they come to your mind and you pray something and you're going, I'm not quite sure, God, why I'm praying this particular thing for this particular person. And then you find out later that this happened with them. And you say, well, what time did that happen? Well, I was praying for you at that time. What a joy that is to be able to say that to someone, that I was praying for you at the very time that God used that prayer and spoke into your life and made a change in your life. You see, when you're walking with Jesus, you can't help but share Jesus with others through prayer, through witnessing, through all of the avenues possible. So he believed by faith. This man, unnamed man, went his way. And these people in our text today are unnamed for a purpose. Because everything that we've talked about is available to every one of us. God is not a respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he will do for all. Every one of us individually. God wants us to know that our name can be placed in these stories. I am a broken woman. God's done a lot of work in me, and I'm still broken. I have a friend who, her husband and her were going to some counseling, and she had said that she was broken, so he decided that she should go to counseling because she was broken. So it was after her counseling, and they were having a bit of an argument. This man said to her, I thought you got fixed. And, what would my reaction be to that? I'm going to reach out, touch you. I'm going to hurt you in Jesus' name. I'm going to lay hands suddenly upon you. But she simply said, no, I'm still broken. We are all broken. But you know something I've discovered about my life? I'm still a broken person. And I want to say, Jesus, put me back together. Yes, And in every one of those creases where he put me back together, they're now gold. Because, see, he's made something beautiful out of my life. And he's made something beautiful out of your life. He's taken those broken places, and they're glorifying to him as he puts us back together and helps us to find that he's the one who completes us. He's the one that we need. Something, I don't know if any of you guys know the old song, Made Something Beautiful Out of My Life. Yeah. I love that song, and I can't come up with any part of it. The woman told the whole town, and the man relayed to the whole household. That means his son, his wife, his servants, his whole household. They all believed because he believed. All of the people of the town believed because this woman believed and shared it with them. Our faith can spark the faith of others to give themselves wholly over to Christ. We are living in the last of the last days. Let's not waste one more minute. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for speaking into our lives tonight. I thank you for speaking into my life even as I spoke. I'm thankful, Lord, to be in your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your gift of Jesus. Thank you that you would go and be the sacrifice for my sins. Would you continually cleanse my heart, Lord? Search me and try me. And see if there be any wicked way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That I might glorify you. That I might bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus!
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.